Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Planet Film Network. Welcome back to another episode of PFN Live. I am one of your hosts, Sean Monk.
And I'm your other host, TJ Cornwell.
And tonight we are going to be talking about what we've been watching, the Invincible Season 2 finale, but also Season 2 in general, because we haven't caught up in like 6 months, because they took that big gap. And then we'll talk a little bit about a little housekeeping about the future of the show in a little bit here. But before that, TJ, what have you been up to? What have you been watching? How'd you handle the eclipse? Did you freak out? Was your Victorian era child brain going, what's happening?
No, I got actually a bone to pick with the eclipse. Buffalo. Okay, so we got the glasses, right? My mom gave these glasses. I think it was for Christmas. She gave them to me and Danielle. So we're like, okay. Oh, cool, you know, we'll be able to see it, you know, not hurt our eyes, all that stuff. Not have to look through the box, you know. And
yeah, the cereal box or whatever. The
thing. So as everybody knows, that has been in Buffalo to watch to see it, you know, because that's like one of the main points. Apparently it was like one of the best spots to see it this time around. Cloudy all
that's
day.
That's what we were told.
Cloudy all day. You'd think, oh, okay, maybe it'll clear up, you know, by the time it comes up. Didn't happen. Of course, afterwards, it was fine. It was bright and shiny outside, sunny, nice. Same with the day before, nice and sunny. But as soon as the eclipse was starting, it was very cloudy. And so I put on the glasses, right? And I'm trying to look in my backyard, you know, and it's not really much. It's cloudy. I can't see, you know? So I pressed them against my glasses, and I just couldn't see it, unfortunately. At one point, I saw a little slight dot of like, that's it. It was kind of like it was forming, you know, it was like they were crossing over. I was like, okay, that's cool. But then I was like, oh, I'll just wait until, you know, and I just never got to see it, unfortunately. It was really cool. I will say it was cool how it got so dark. It was like somebody just turned the lights down and then they brought them back up, which I thought was really cool. Yeah. But apparently, like, I wasn't aware. I was told today that maybe you need to, like, hold them against your eyes for, like, 30 seconds for your eyes to adjust. That might have been a thing that I did not do. Because they're really dark, where it's like you really can't see anything, honestly, out of them.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're like staring at the actual eclipse. So I was not aware that you actually had to, like, there was like an adjustment period. I thought you'd just be able to see it, you know. So maybe that was my own fault and that's why I missed it. But yeah, no, I didn't see it. I saw pictures, but no, I didn't technically witness it, I guess.
I mean, I was at work. Luckily, I did not think this was going to happen, but luckily we were able to build a gap into our schedule, so we were able to lock the doors, and then the managers and the employees all went out and were able to watch it from our parking lot. This is the only image that I was able to get. There you go.
I could barely see that, but yeah.
It's just that little sliver is the sun.
Yeah.
but I resigned myself. As soon as I started hearing about how, oh, the clouds are probably going to make it really difficult, I just reoriented my brain the best I could to just be like, I'm just going to be happy to experience the world, like you said, the sky going dark for like 4 minutes. Like, I was like, if I can't see the sun, I was like, that's disappointing, whatever, but it's still like a crazy, what's it called? It's still like a crazy event to like see it become night in the middle of the afternoon and then go back again. And I will say, I saw some time lapses and some videos of people in totality in different states that didn't have clouds. And I don't know if it's just the videos I saw versus actually being there, but it just seemed like it didn't get as dark in some of the videos I was seeing as it got here. Like here, it was like, it felt like night. Like it felt very dark. But then again, it's like, it's kind of weird because if you look on the horizon, it's never going to be truly like pitch black, because it's like if you look down and around like the horizons and stuff like that, you know, you'll still see some sunlight like at the very edges. It just looked like there was like a red layer, like an orange ring, you know, in every direction that you looked, type of thing. But I mean, overall, it was pretty fun. I will say that if there was, we got very like probably 5 or 6 times that the clouds just parted perfectly, and we could see it. And right when those would happen, I would put the glasses on and I would be able to see it. But that was it. That was literally like probably like 45 seconds total out of like the 15 minutes that we were looking. So that was pretty disappointing. But I think that the glasses really, it's just like if the clouds are in front of the sun, it's just the glasses just have no effect. Like I think it's like it has to be direct sunlight that it's seeing through. Otherwise, the glasses, it's just too dark to even like work, basically.
Right.
Which does suck. But, you know, I still, you know, I still enjoyed it. Although, you know, it did suck that the clouds came in, whatever. But we weren't the only one. I mean, I saw a TikTok that was talking about all the cloud cover percentage and stuff. Also, like, Texas apparently got it pretty rough that they had, like, you know, 80% cloud cover just like we did. So it sounds like people in Texas didn't get, like, the perfect shot of it or whatever. But it seems like seems like that, like, Arkansas mid kind of country route, they really got, like, clear skies to see it all.
Did you see the like, I don't know what his, like, title is, but, like, the head of, like, our county that we live in?
Mark Poloncarz?
Like, yeah, that he...
Oh, like, he was in Ohio? That video.
He was in Ohio, yeah. And everybody was like, you did all this stuff, like, canceled school, like, closed these bits, whatever, and you're in Ohio.
He said, good luck.
Literally, that's exactly what it was. It's like, he said, okay, man.
Yeah. I didn't see anybody, like, I didn't, like, read the comments or anything or see anybody talking about it, but I did see that tweet because I follow him on Twitter, and it was just like, clear sky is over here in, you know, whatever, Ohio. Yeah. Can't say the same for back home in the 716. And I was man, all right. Couldn't have brought a couple people with you on your plane, Mark. No, but yeah, I mean, it was still pretty cool. But anybody who's watching right now, let us know, how did you guys experience the eclipse? Did you even get to see it? I know there were a lot of people, unfortunately, that, you know, they were just at work and just didn't even get to see it, which sucks. Luckily, you know, sounds like you were able to get a look at it and all that stuff. So I forget where I was going with that. Oh, and luckily, like, you know, my work was... one that we were afforded the luxury of, you know, closing up for 15 minutes and being able to go look at it. I know a lot of jobs didn't do that. And I know that sucks. So I had a couple friends that just were like, yeah, I was in my cubicle, but they had like, they saw a TikTok that was like, don't worry guys. We set up a live stream. Here's the link. Pull it up anytime you want on your desktop today. A couple of my friends that worked at Geico said that. Is that they got a live stream link to the sky outside instead of being able to leave their desk for even 4 minutes. Hey, what's more important?
Eclipse of those phone calls.
Exactly. Exactly. Themselves. Retention center. You want homeowners insurance? Okay, sorry. I'm getting flashbacks. all right. So moving on from that, what have you been watching? It's been a pretty light week for me after a couple of heavy hitters.
Yeah.
But
same here. So I caught up on Invincible for one, which we'll get to. Watched two movies. So the first one I watched, Eileen, which came out this past year.
Thomasin, McKenzie, and Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. It was okay. Not great, honestly. Ooh, wow. I thought Thomasin McKenzie was tough in this.
Like in a bad way?
Yeah, it was just this accent.
Did
that
you
she
like
was
Jojo
doing.
Rabbit?
Yeah, no, like I like her in general. I like her in general. Right. I just thought she was not great in this, unfortunately. Mostly,
where's
going
the
back
Greta
to,
biopic for her? Right, let's get that going before she ages out of it.
Yeah, mostly going back to her kind of accent, which was kind of, you know, they're in. I think it was in Massachusetts, so I think she's kind of trying to draw that
like
Boston,
a transatlantic Boston kind of thing. Yeah,
it just did not work. Anne Hathaway is good. I just wasn't really on board with the twist. It kind of just. He was just kind of came out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, whoa, okay. Like, it was like a big kind of shock value type thing. I just didn't really buy into. But our man, oh, my God, his name's escaping me.
Jeremy Strong?
No. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, and character actor. You know exactly who I'm talking about. As soon as I say, oh, that guy.
Kittredge?
Shea Whigham.
Shea Whigham. Oh, right, right. Duh. Oh, my God. Right. Sorry. There's like 75 people in
Mission
Impossible.
He was pretty good in it. Didn't expect to see him, so that was cool. And then the other movie I watched, never seen. I took out a bunch of Michael Mann movies from the library. I think I'm going to just try to go through all the movies he's done. So I watched Manhunter. from, what year was that, 1986?
Man, I wish they would give us a third season of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, actually, Danielle said, isn't that a TV show? I go, no, that's Mindhunter. Close, though, close.
Not to be confused with Manhunt, the Paul Bettany Unabomber show.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Really good. Really enjoyed it. Scary, terrifying, unsettling. I thought William Peterson was really good as Will Graham. The role also played by Ed Norton, I believe, in Red Dragon from whatever year that was. And
Hugh
I thought
Dancy
Cox,
and Hannibal, of course.
Yeah, and Brian Cox was awesome. Yeah, as Dr. Lecter.
Where do you rank your Lecters, your Dr. Lecters?
Like, Brian Cox, really, he isn't in it that much. He's maybe in it for, I'm going to say, like, 10 minutes. It might be less than that.
He's in it even less than Anthony Hopkins is in Silence of the Lambs, which is not a lot.
Yeah, and I was reading some, like, reviews and just of, you know, users on Letterboxd and stuff, and, you know, some people preferred Brian Cox's portrayal, which I understand. I think he's, like, really kind of... he's more, what's the word? Subdued, I would say.
Yeah.
As instead of Anthony Hopkins, Silence of the Lambs. But yeah, I thought he was great in it. I watched like the director's cut and they kind of did this thing where they spliced in, like, cut out, obviously, scenes. And they were kind of, they were very, you could tell which ones they were just because of like the grain. Like, they weren't like fully, like, you know, restored or anything, because they made it sound like they had to, like, they were not thought of as lost, but it seemed like they were in rough condition, so when they probably put them back together, they didn't look great. And just leave it out, you know, none of them really, I'll be honest, added all that much for me. So maybe next time we just leave those out. Personally,
so no suckers, no sucker punch Snyder cut for you.
No.
Okay.
And then,
unfortunate,
on Saturday and Sunday, which we'll talk about. You said you wanted to, because you watched Sunday. I watched WrestleMania with Brandon. So we'll get to that.
That's I will definitely get to that. Some crazy stuff. For me, I really, I'm trying to think. I'm sure there's a TV show. Well, I finished The Outsider, which was the Ben Mendelsohn show. I definitely highly recommend that. There we go.
Did you like the ending of that? I feel like when that show came out, a lot of people were like, it wasn't really worth it.
Yeah. I did. I really liked the very end of it. To me, it's one of those things where the line I've been saying to everybody I talk to about it is, any amount of the show maybe like falls off or peters out is worth it for the emotional resolution of the main character. Like Ben Mendelsohn's final scene, and kind of what he accepts in his final scene is just like a real change from where he is at the beginning of the season. And I thought that was done really, really effectively. but, you know, I definitely felt it. It was like, could it have been 8 episodes? Could it have been 6 episodes? Maybe. But like, I was really vibing with all the actors. So it's like, even if there were scenes where I was like, you know, this doesn't feel necessary, that's what TV is. It's to live with characters and stuff. So it's like, and I'll tell you, it did feel refreshing to have like a full huge meal of 10 episodes that were all 1 hour and 5 minutes. Just felt like, you know, a lot of TV, that was really good. But again, Ben Mendelsohn was great. And then we just liked the vibe of that show so much. That we went to the You May Also Like on Max, and we like were kind of like dancing around different things, but we ended up actually settling on, because my roommate has never seen, we are 3 episodes into Watchmen, show.
Yeah.
Just as good as we remembered. So good.
Wasn't there something about it leaving Max?
I don't think what, so. I think maybe if anything, there might have just been rumors that like it would go to Netflix with like the licensing deal.
Yeah, I could have sworn it was like a few months ago that there was like people were like, oh yeah, it's leaving like HBO. And I was like, what the hell? But maybe
hope not.
Something else.
what was I going to say? Right, yeah. So I started watching Watchmen a little bit. And then for movie-wise, I only watched one movie. I watched The Accountant, which I just hadn't seen since 2016, since it came out. That's the Ben Affleck action movie. I don't really want to spoil the premise because I forget how much they really kind of bury the lead in that movie of like what that movie actually is. Really, really good movie. I think I'm safe to say it's Ben Affleck, John Wick. That's basically what you get with The Accountant. They're filming the second one right now. It's going to be one of those sequels. It's going to be like a decade later. Very excited for that sequel, especially after rewatching. And man, just a really, really good movie. And honestly, if it continues to be a franchise, as much as I always mix up O'Connor and Hood, is this Gavin O'Connor or is this Gavin Hood? As much as I like
O'Connor,
Gavin O'Connor, and as much as I like his directing style, and I thought he does the action and everything really good, I'd like to see if they do a trilogy of this. Give the third one to Affleck. So what is his action, you know, look like for himself? Obviously, we've seen like The Town and everything like that. And I did not see Live Up All Night, Live by Night. Live by night. I think that. I did not see that. I got to be honest. I did not see that. So I don't really know. I'm not really familiar with him as an action director outside of The Town. So I'd be excited to see him take on this franchise of his own and just really see if he can helm, you know, a whole movie like that. And then the other thing that we watched I watched The Truth versus Alex Jones on HBO Max. Man, that was a really angry watch. That is like a documentary that will just get you like seething with anger about how absolutely intolerant, crazy, all the words that you can think of some people are out there. Really, I gotta be honest too, I know that you would appreciate this. I was gonna text you this, but there is no way. And what we're gonna announce, I feel no shame in saying this. There is no way that John Campia doesn't like base his entire thing on that guy, but for movies. Like so many stuff. Like the whole like, you know, just screaming and outrage and like, you know, reading a headline and starting off soft and then going and then doing his little, you know, what the fuck? What the like it literally every most of the time that they were showing Alex Jones, I was like, oh my God, that's Campia. Like, it literally just felt like him. It was pretty crazy. Obviously, very different subject matter. I'm not saying, you know, obviously that part. I'm just saying the sensationalism really felt familiar as someone who has never watched anything with Alex Jones. I'm happy to say this is my first this is my first kind of main thing of watching about him or with him in it other than, like, you know, Last Week Tonight. But man, yeah, it is just, it'll have you like very emotional and just very, very upset. But that being said, I think it was still a really great watch and a really important watch. I definitely learned a lot about, you know, the Sandy Hook shooting that I did not know, mostly because it's just like, it's just one of those things I don't really want to spend the time to, you know, go in and like get the gruesome details about that. Yeah. But they are in the documentary, and they are delivered by, in most cases, the parents of the children. Really, really good. And in terms of, like, a documentary being about something, but also, like, filming the thing itself, there was HBO cameras in the courtroom for all of the court proceedings with Alex Jones. Like, full... So it's like, you know, normally you're, like, working off of, like, the closed circuit, you know, court TV or whatever. But, like, this was... Yeah. They had full... like cinema HBO cameras in the room. So that was kind of weird to get used to. Cause I was like, when it first started, I was like, is this like just super produced? Like, why is this like 4K, you know, like why is there a DP in this camera, in this courtroom? But then later you find out it's like, it's because the parents wanted HBO, you know, I'm sure HBO went to them, but they were like, you know, we want this story to be told, in as big a way as possible. So HBO was on board for years making this documentary, which was really interesting. And then also, you know, because of his nature, Alex Jones calls out HBO several times within the documentary itself about the documentary being made. So it gets kind of meta in that sense, just because, like, I didn't even know that this documentary was coming out, let alone that, like, they were there for a lot of this process, interviewing attorneys on both sides, interviewing people on both sides, some of the InfoWars people. Pretty much the only person they don't interview is Alex Jones himself. Even though, you know, there are some times where he talks directly down the camera, to the documentary. He's like, I hope you got that one, HBO. He does a lot of that stuff. It's like pretty heinous stuff, but, it was a really good watch. I thought, well worth your time. So I will move on from that, but, pretty dark, but, you know, pretty important, I would say. Something that is not as important, but man, was it cool. I was at work on Sunday night and I just started getting flooded with all this stuff. They said, oh my God. The first tweet I saw was a tweet and it just said, oh my God, and then a bunch of bell emojis. And even 13-year-old me knew what that meant. And yeah. I went, where's the clip? And then later I saw a clip of The Undertaker. He was like up in his box seat. And you can clearly tell that, like, he just ran downstairs really quick to do it. Like, you could tell that, like, he was just in his street clothes. Like, he didn't have the hat or anything. He was just, you know, standing there. I wouldn't be surprised if it was even something they just, like, threw it, like, asked, you know, at the last second or something, can we do this? But, of course, talking about, at least I watched the main title fight between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. What is it? It's just the WWE champion of the world, or is it heavyweight, or what are they?
I think that was just the WWE championship. I'm okay. With you, where I'm kind of I'm an extreme casual. I used to be more invested, I would say, when I was around,
for sure,
you know, younger, 12, 13 years old. Yeah. But this Cody Rhodes storyline is really,
is he gonna finish the story?
Has really captured my interest. So the past few pay-per-views I've been watching with Brandon, I haven't watched like the week-to-week stuff, but they built it up to a point where I was really interested. And then, you know, there was this thing where I forget who it was going to be originally, and then The Rock shows up, and then it was kind of this thing where The Rock shows up, and they all seem to be under
this is about like 6 months ago, right?
Yeah, they all seem to be under the assumption that the fans will be like, oh, The Rock's here, you know. But they actually turn on him, which I don't think they were expecting. So, and they're making a whole documentary about it that comes out tomorrow, actually. They're releasing a whole little documentary thing about how they changed the whole story on the fly, basically, and made The Rock into the villain. Oh, whoa,
sorry, hang on. I do not want to interrupt you too hard here, but 5 minutes ago, apparently at CinemaCon, they just revealed the official logo and the first 30 seconds of footage from Superman.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. Wow. Fast. I know. Okay. Now, I doubt we're going to see any of it, but I just opened Twitter and I just saw a whole bunch of people talking about it.
That kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. Right, I forgot. That's probably that. Real far off, but still.
Basically the past 6 months, you know, I've been bombarded on TikTok with, you know, clips of people reacting to the week-to-week shows, and
I will say, somebody even more casual than you now in it. It's permeating. Like, I'm hearing about it from like other people. Like, to me, it's funny. I was talking to my roommate while we were watching like kind of the highlights, and then eventually on my own, I went and watched the final fight. What was I going to say? It's crazy that like all this stuff is going on with Vince, which is obviously huge news. Yeah. But it's like, as one of the darkest chapters about a guy who obviously fostered the WWE. Is unfolding. The WWE itself seems to be like at one of its biggest peaks in my lifetime, at least, probably since I was a middle schooler. Because like, it was big when I was in middle school, and then I fell off. But it's not one of those things that it's necessarily just because I got older. It's like, I feel like the WWE itself also kind of fell off with a lot of people around that time, that like Cena was kind of exiting his peak. Because like, when I was a kid, it was like Batista, Rey Mysterio, John Cena, like those were the big, you know, guys. You know, I was post Rock, obviously. Undertaker was still around, like all that stuff. Randy Orton, like it was people like that. So a lot of those guys left around that time. And now you have a lot of those guys coming back. You, I think with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, because I know, didn't Cody Rhodes leave and go to AEW for a while?
Yeah, so he left, and then he, I think he helped found AEW. I could be wrong on that. So
I think you might be right, yeah.
And then he left there, and then he kind of went the, I didn't even know this, I guess he went like the indie circuit for a while, and he was doing like indie shows and stuff like that, and then he came back to WWE and
really proved his bones story. On the road, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's been doing it for, I think that whole storyline has been like 2 years, I want to say, in the making.
Well, even more than that, I mean, isn't the whole point of Finish the story? Isn't the story goes all the way back to his dad, Dusty Rhodes, right? It's like the whole idea is that like there'll be another Rhodes that will have the championship.
Yeah.
And so like that's going back decades, like, but like his actual push for it, like you said, that's really like ramped up recently. But and then he won.
Yeah.
And then I watched his TikTok that was breaking down the lore that and I know Triple H, he was another one that when I was a kid was huge, was Triple H. Mm-hmm. I know that he's running things now. Mm-hmm. And he's like making the decisions and a lot of the writing process and stuff, but apparently it's like years ago, Seth Rollins hit Roman Reigns with a chair and caused him to lose. So the whole idea is that the reason that Roman lost on Sunday was because he hit Seth as the chair. So it was like, oh, you son of a bitch, you gave into revenge. You shouldn't have given into revenge. And like, I was like, that's like an actual creative decision that's like interesting. You know what I mean? That they like this moment that happened like 6 or 7 years ago, that they were like, well, what if it's that like Roman's so blinded by the revenge of him getting hit with that chair that like that's what costs him the title? That's like the kind of interesting stuff that, you know, it like the I could see the post match interview, which I didn't watch, but like Roman Reigns being like, I just let it get the better of me, you know, like one of those things. That's like old school classic WWE stuff.
And then just like on top, like all those, you know, kind of people that came in at the near the end, you know, like they all kind of had beef with each other, where, you know, you got John Cena coming in, he has beef with, I forget the guy's name, that was kind of was beating up Cody at one point, and then you have The Rock come in, who was beef with John Cena, and then everybody's thinking it was supposed to be Stone Cold who came in for, instead of Undertaker, which I do agree with, because they were hinting at all this stuff leading up to like Triple H had this like tweet, and he tweeted it right at 3:16. You know, they met on multiple times in the broadcast. They like, and especially in the beginning in particular, they said something where it was like, oh, 3:16, 3:16, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's like, okay, so it's going to be Stone Cold. And then when Stone Cold doesn't show up, obviously everybody's like, what the hell, you know? And then there was people saying like, I saw something that said he was sick, and then, you know, I can't imagine what the reason would have been for him to not come.
I'm wondering if it really was supposed to be him, and that they really did say to The Undertaker at the last second, like, hey, you're coming anyways. Can you just come in and just do this, like, spot? And then also, I got to say, there is value in the, like, everybody thinking it was going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then it being The Undertaker instead. Like, there is still value in The Undertaker showing up, but, like, and also, like, doesn't Stone Cold have all this history with The Rock, too? So it's like, you know, it was kind of, like, perfect. But I still thought the moment really worked. And I like that The Rock, you hear the ding and the lights go out, and he's looking at the door. Like, he's looking at the ramp, being like, all right, where are you? And then he's right behind him. I was like, that was pretty good. And then The Rock really sold the, like, when he turned around, The Rock really sold that well. And then I liked that it was just boom, the lights were out and he was gone. That was great.
What did you think about John Cena running down the ramp?
I thought it was great. I was like, it was literally like I was a kid again. I was like,
yeah, I don't think he can't make that run anymore. I'll tell you that.
That's true.
He was limping down there. The Rock, though, if you didn't watch night one, for night one, he looked really good.
Yeah.
Granny, you know, he was, you know, they kept his kind of spots limited and stuff like that.
Cena is 47.
Yeah, so they kept his spots kind of limited and stuff like that, but he still looked pretty good for like a 40-minute match, I think it was.
Yeah.
You know, every time he'd bring out – did you see like the leading up? I think it was the Monday Night Raw before. It was like when he was attacking, or maybe it was 2 weeks, when he was attacking Cody. And did you see this clip? He was attacking Cody, and he throws the trash can at him, which is like the funniest clip I've ever seen. And then they're fighting outside. It's raining. It's like this, like, it's
I did see that. Yes, yes, yes. I did see that.
Yeah, yeah. And then in the background, it's just John Cena and Stone Cold on this big board. And everybody's like, and it's lit. Like, it's like properly lit. And everybody's like, okay, like, they're obviously they're hinting at something. So
yeah,
that made everybody believe that that's why that he was going to show up. We got one.
Yeah, that makes me feel even more that I think it probably really was supposed to be Stone Cold. And there probably really was a genuine reason that he couldn't make it. Because, like, I don't understand why you wouldn't, like, especially if all they were having him do was like a pop in like The Undertaker did. But yeah, I mean, that either way, I thought it was really effective, and that there's people that I know. I mean, like, if Brandon's here and, like, you're here, I'm here, there's people that are down there that are saying, like, did you see, like, The Rock's back at wrestling?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, like, permeating everybody, which has,
I think we can also agree, like, it definitely had something to do with, like, obviously the whole Vince thing definitely had something to do with it. But also
calling attention back to people's minds.
I don't know if it was like announced that he was on the board of directors, but it was like a few days before.
It was the day before him and Vince were at the stock exchange the day before. Right. Yeah. And pretty crazy stuff.
I think the other part of it had to do was kind of like, okay, let me go back to my roots. You know, I've done Black Adam. I've done all this stuff, you know,
he's maybe still coming out to the Lightning. Got to get over it, man.
Maybe not to great success, but let's go back, kind of retool for a few months, and then we'll get back out there for the Benny Safdie movie.
He said, can you smell what Teth is cooking? Right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, very interesting. If anybody has them, throw in your thoughts on WrestleMania. But then before we get into Invincible, just wanted to talk a little bit here. Me and TJ have been talking off mic and everything like that, that we're going to be winding down in earnest here, PFN Live. To switch gears real quick, just with stuff I've been having going on with work. As I've talked about on the show, I'm trying to go to the gym a lot more. I went there today as well. And I just, at this point, it's just something that I don't have as much time for week to week. Even though it is only one night, there's still a lot of behind the scenes work, even just to get this show going on top of my regular work. And I know on top of TJ's regular work as well, because he does the audio feeds and he's got to edit and everything like that. So at least for now, we came to the conclusion that, you know, we'll be putting to rest PFN Live. Will this be the last live stream ever on this channel? I sure hope not. Will this be the last video on this channel? I would say definitely not. I think that we are definitely, you know, if Acolyte comes out swinging and it is incredible and we want to talk about it, you know, we're going to hop on and we're going to put out an Acolyte, you know, review. If when the season ends of the Acolyte and, like, it's just an amazing season of television, we're going to cover that. If Deadpool 3 comes out and it's one of the best Marvel movies and whatever, we're going to cover that. So don't think that this channel is completely going away. But just the week-to-week aspect of it, I think it's just becoming less and less tenable, at least for me. My energy level, I just don't have what I used to. And then, obviously, we started this in the height of the pandemic, when we could really give a great run at it. And we did give a great run at it, myself and TJ and everybody that's been, you know, guests on the channel, guests on the show all throughout the years, everything like that. And we really appreciate everybody that's, you know, followed us, that's subscribed, that's watched, yeah, everything like that. But TJ, you know, you have anything you want to say about, you know, what the show's meant to you, or anything on the future or whatever?
No, I agree with you. Like, you know, right now I'm just like exhausted. I don't know what it is. It's just like every day is kind of draining me for some reason. Unfortunately. You know, going forward, I think we're definitely going to do, like, reactions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, the Joker 2 trailer comes out tonight. I will probably do one. I don't know if you want to join me. That's up to you. So I'm really excited for that, obviously. But yeah, I thought the show was an awesome way for us to discuss things we've been watching, review different stuff, what we've loved, what we haven't loved. And yeah, hopefully it's not, you know, gone for good, but we shall see.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, I mean, honestly, and if I'm being honest too, I think removing the show from every single week will make it easier that, you know, if a trailer does come out, you know, we can be like, that's the thing I'm going to focus on this week, is I'm going to get that trailer reaction out, particularly this week with CinemaCon. Like you said, we know Joker 2 trailer is coming out, but who knows what else CinemaCon might have in store. Could there be a new Deadpool trailer? Could there be a new, you know, Moana trailer or something? Not that we would necessarily do a Moana reaction, but you never really know what's going to come out to the public from CinemaCon. So keep an eye out. Like we said, I'm sure I'll still throw up, you know, some out of the theater reactions. I'm thinking particularly probably like Planet of the Apes, coming up next month, everything like that. So, you know, don't unsubscribe. But yeah. So thank you guys so much for, allowing us to talk about that real quick. And then we're going to wrap up the show here tonight, with talking about Invincible. The show that TJ said, I think, I just don't have time for this show, ironically. And I said, I think, buddy, you do, actually. So the question is, was it worth it? Was it worth your time? What did you think of the second half of Season 2 of Invincible? What did you think of the overall Season 2 of Invincible? And how do you feel about the show?
Yeah, so just to clarify, I didn't say, I don't know if, maybe I did say that. Don't remember, but
you didn't. You just said
it didn't become appointment viewing. That's for me. And again, I think that has to do, that had to do with the break that they took. It was like a 4 month break.
Yeah, that just, almost just, five.
It was like what, like that was a little like I don't think it's fair to say unfair to say that was a little ridiculous. Yeah, but I did watch the most recent four episodes, and I will say I definitely started to get back into it. I shouldn't say started to. I'm definitely back in. Granted, it kind of sucks that the season's over and now we have to wait for another season three, which comes out next year, I'm assuming. Would that be correct?
I would even guess, I think because of how big the gap was, I wouldn't be surprised if we get it this year. If we get it November, because season two started in November of 23. I wouldn't be surprised if we get this one November of 24 with no gap. I think definitely you're never going to see a mid-season gap again. They learned their lesson on that. They put their little joke about animation in one of the episodes about how it takes so long, which was great. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's like, we get it. This is never going to happen again, but it had to happen. You know what I mean? I think it's one of those things. So I would say either November or maybe January 2025.
But I will say, you know, like some of the stuff definitely kind of was lost on me as far as like I read all these. Again, I don't remember how long ago it was. It must have been at least a year or two. Yeah. So I know what happened, unless they change a bunch of stuff. I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was a really good, you know, kind of strong end to a solid second season. I was really digging all the storylines. You know, I think I'm probably most invested in the whole kind of Viltrumite, you know, war type thing when, you know, now we learn like, oh, they're going to invade, you know, you better get, and I think that's probably at the end of season one or the first half of season two is like, you know, go get the planet ready, Mark. We're coming and it better be ready when we get there or we're going to murder everybody. Yeah. and Mark kind of having to grapple with that and deal with that. And how is he going to save everyone? But also kind of fighting that, which you see a lot in the second half of the second season is, you know, he keeps telling everybody like, I'm not my dad, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we see at the end of this most recent episode, like he's not his dad, but like he's definitely, I will say more powerful obviously than I think anybody really thought he was throughout the show this far. And that's scary, you know. And
did you see those edits of of him in the season two finale and his dad in the season one finale? That they're literally animated in the same moves.
Oh, really?
It's no, the same keyframes. Yeah, it's literally, wow. He's doing the, that's yeah. why, like, when he said to, actually, it was Skybound themselves who put it out. It was an official edit, and then it ends with him telling Cecil, like, you weren't there. And I was like, yeah. damn, that's, yeah. that's tough.
Yeah.
But how did you feel overall with kind of the wrap up with Angstrom Levy in the second half and, you know, Sterling K. Brown and everything like that in his performance?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you feel it was a little like underdeveloped or it, didn't yeah, work for
and
you?
And I think that's kind of, if I can say, like, to the, from what I remember in the comics, it's like they're all kind of like that. I thought of, in my opinion, when I was reading them, I thought they were all kind of like a little underbaked.
And like this the kind villains?
Of didn't, yes, and this didn't really surprise me all that much. Where it was like, we got him, I think, in the one episode in the first, was it the first half of season two or was it season one? That we first see him?
Angstrom, oh, season one. It was the very first episode. Oh,
okay, yeah. okay. So we see him then, and then I feel like maybe we see him sporadically, but then this is kind of where he comes back and, you know, that whole thing. So yeah, I thought it was fine for what it is, but for me, it's like I liked that story, and that kind of builds into the bigger story of, you know, I'm not my dad and stuff like that. But I really am more interested in
Omni-Man,
the Viltrumites, and also Adam Eve and how they their relationship.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I mean, I liked. I think I echo a lot. I'm not going to repeat it all because I pretty much. And with you lockstep on everything you just said. For me, I'm this season, to kind of go totally off gear of what we were just talking about, someone who worked well for me in season one, but somebody who's really working, and because they're putting the work into him as a character, is Jason Mantzoukas as Rex in season two. I think they really allowed that character, particularly in the second half of season two, they're obviously really setting that character up to have, you know, a big presence, you know, both versions of him, Rudy as well. And then so I really loved in the finale that scene with all the future versions of them and him in the robot suit and everything like that, which I will say I have not read that far ahead. I know, obviously, you've read everything. I do know what that's about. I'll say that. I know what's in store for Rex and Rudy and Robot, and everything that's gonna come up with that. Which I was disappointed that I kind of went down that rabbit hole, but I only went down that rabbit hole because I'm just so interested in that character. But that's really something that, like, I had no idea that something like that was coming for the future of the show. With all the stuff that, you know, is going to go on with Robot as a character. And I'm, if anything, I'm glad because I really was like, somebody who I did miss from season one was Zachary Quinto as the voice of Robot, like, in the suit. Which, obviously, Zachary Quinto's in this season, you know, in a couple of episodes and everything. But, obviously, in the first season, he was the only voice that we had for Robot. So we talked a lot more. So to know that there's going to be a lot more Robot stuff coming up soon, I really appreciate. I don't know if that would be like a season three thing or if that would maybe be like even later than that. Cause I know there's also, you know, people are talking about the Invincible War. Then you also have like Conquest coming up. So it's like, there's all these big, huge runs that they have to get to in the show. And I might know some bits and pieces of these different runs, but I don't know when they happen and I don't know, you know, how they all fit together. So that I'm very interested in. And then another person who really, I think, shined for me this year is Cecil. I mean, even more than he did in the first season. I think you really just see, at least what I so far believe to be, you might know something further in the comics than I do, but, just how much he genuinely obviously cares about Mark and Debbie and now also Oliver. But more than cares, I think just how much he truly appreciates that Mark does not have to be helping them the way that he always does. You know what I mean? It's like, they're very clear that, like, you know, I will help you with stuff, but I don't work for you. And it's like, now basically Mark really does kind of work for him. You know, maybe not on paper, but like Mark basically does work for Cecil. And I think that, but Cecil doesn't take advantage of that. Cecil, like, goes, hey, this guy could say no to me at any second, but but like he constantly comes and helps us whenever we need him. And I think that Cecil really appreciates him as being a like true hero. And I just think that Walton Goggins is like another one of those just like underappreciated, because you just you don't even think about it. Half these characters, you don't think about the actors playing them. You just think about the characters themselves. And I think that people like, you know, Jason Mantzoukas or even her name is escaping me right now, but from Community, who plays Adam Eve, you know, she's fantastic. And then obviously Sandra Oh as Debbie had a lot to do this season. Again, we already mentioned him, but Sterling K. Brown, Seth Rogen, Alan is somebody who I'm just appreciating more and more that like how much, you know, that character really to me before I read any of the book, like starts out as like, oh, is this like a one-off cameo that like Seth Rogen is voicing this guy? But it's like, I think Alan has a very big part to play in the rest of this story. So just getting more and more of Seth Rogen and having Seth Rogen kind of transition from that cameo status to Alan is now going to be a like large part of this show. I think that's really, really cool. And everything that's going on, obviously somebody that we haven't mentioned yet, J.K. Simmons, really, really good stuff. Very little Nolan in this season. But I am sure that's like, would you agree that you would probably say that this is, when the show is over, this is probably the season that will have the least amount of him? I can only imagine that, we're going to get more Nolan. Like, a lot of people are saying that season two is the calm before the storm. Like, it's got that kind of, you know, it's got, like, sophomore slump of, like, it's right before a lot of this shit's about to, like, break loose. And stuff's just going to start going crazy. Like, particularly with where they leave off Alan and Nolan. I think that that's just going to be so interesting. I would assume that that's going to happen pretty early on in season three. But yeah, I mean, I really like the show. I did not feel the... Obviously, I was annoyed at the gap. But the gap didn't lose me like it lost some other people. Like it, you know, almost lost you. I know a friend that it did lose. He was like, I'm just not going to go back. And I was like, man... You're making a mistake. It was I was saying the same thing to him that I was saying to you. I was like, man, it really is worth it to me. And Steven Yeun is just like, he's just so good. I don't know. Like him as Mark Grayson is just like one of my favorite superhero portrayals like ever. Like he's, and I know that it's animated and whatever, but just he embodies that character so well and makes me feel for him and everything like that. And obviously Steven Yeun is like an amazing actor to begin with in whatever he does. But man, is he just so, so good as Invincible, as Mark in that show.
Yeah, I'd say I definitely got back
into the swing.
Yeah, with him in this second part of the second season than I was in the first. I don't know what it was. It was just like...
Yeah, that's right. You did have that thing in the part. The voices. You were talking about the voices. I just remembered that. You were like, does it sound different to you? And I was like, I don't think so.
But again, it was recorded, you know, however many years ago. And the first season came out in 2021, I think it was. So, the second part of the season, I was definitely more, I will say, invested and ready to go. And yeah, I watched them over a span of 2 days, so I think I watched like the first two on Sunday, and then I watched the second two yesterday. So yeah, I'm definitely on board. So I'm definitely excited for the next season. I will say on like the Cecil front, I'll just say it.
Don't you dare!
It's not a spoiler. It's just it's pretty consistent. His character is consistent, I will say. We're not really, you know, is he still a little questionable at times?
Yeah.
You know, is he
doing, but there's no big, like, taping on a mustache and going,
right. Nothing that I, where it's like, I'm actually, you know,
there's no there's no shoe left to drop.
Right. Not that I can think of.
Okay. Awesome. Cause I just love that character and I love, speaking of another, element of season two, what'd you think of all the Donald stuff?
Yeah, I thought it was good. Yeah, I think it is like an interesting conversation of
what is actually you.
Yeah.
Are you you with, or are your memories you, like that? Yeah, kind
obviously
of thing?
With Donald and Eric. Is that his name? I forget.
I don't know. I know it's William is Mark's friend, but I forget right. That's one layer too deep. I can't remember.
Yeah, those two characters kind of going through the same thing where he's like, you know, how do you know what this feels like? Well, I've died like 36 times.
Yeah, he's like, I actually know exactly how it feels. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that moment,
sorry, just hearing you the lines, that was like a cinephile's moment where it's like, Steve Morris reading the lines was just as impactful as the movie. Like, you saying that just now, I was like, man, that really is just, again, the show, like, hitting home on, like, its great points that the show makes, like, its emotional points. And, like, it's like, even if you're a person who was killed and is put back together with robot parts and your memories are implanted back in your brain, you're still not alone. Mm-hmm. There's still somebody that is going through what you're going through, and there's someone you can talk to, and there's someone you can reach out to. That was such a great like moment there. But yeah, while you're talking, I'm gonna look up who plays Donald, because he was really good.
Yeah, yeah. But like you said, I'm really excited for season three. Obviously, Conquest is gonna be great to see him on screen, and I'm also excited for like the. I don't know if he'll come in season three. Probably not. He's like the top Viltrumite, I'll say. Like the top.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm very excited to see that character. And like I said, I'm excited to see Eve and Mark's kind of relationship. You know, I thought they did the kind of...
it's this guy. He was in Silicon Valley.
I literally only remember him from The Office as the cameraman.
Oh, that's totally right. Yes, yeah. Yes, that's totally right. Oh, he also voices Doc Seismic in Invincible.
Oh, okay.
That's funny.
I thought they did the Amber, kind of Mark and Amber storyline really well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people probably saw that coming. Like, even if you had no experience with the comics, you're like, oh, yeah, like, it's more like him and Eve are, like, the
kind of... The end game.
The mate. Yeah, so... Yeah. Really excited to see that, and... yeah, hopefully we get it season three soon.
Absolutely. Well, anything else on Invincible?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't be surprised if they did like another one of those.
Like a special?
Specials, yeah. They did with like Adam Eve.
I would really love a Rex special. Like, I would really like that. Just like his origins, how he joined the teen team. Was he born with his powers? Did something happen to him? You know, all that kind of stuff. I would really like to know that stuff. So, I would definitely be down, if we got into a rhythm of like, you know, a season, a special, like just diving deep into a different member of, that is one thing I wanted to get your last thoughts on. What did you think about everything with Immortal this season? Immortal got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, I
particularly towards the end.
Specifically with the whole duplicate thing, I could not remember if that's actually what happens in the comics or because when she you think she's dead, spoiler.
Yeah.
Sorry, I said spoiler afterwards. I was like, they have like a whole ass like there's like a whole thing with them and you know stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's a departure. But obviously, at the end of this last episode, spoiler,
not so much.
We find out she's alive still.
Yeah.
So obviously, they can still do that. But I really liked the scene when he goes to fight Alan and Mark kind of gets in the way and they're trying to talk to each other. And Alan goes, yeah, this thing only, I can't talk to multiple people at the same time.
Yeah, it's just one wave radio. Yeah, there's no group chat up here. It's just like, what is he saying?
He said, an update's coming, though.
Yeah, that was really funny. That was really funny. I completely forgot about that, an update's coming. Unenjoyable? I don't think there is a character I don't enjoy whenever they're on screen in this show. Even people down to like Samson. That conversation that what is it, Bulletproof, right? That Bulletproof and Samson have where Samson's like, you know, we're still a good team, and Bulletproof's like, look around you, man. What are you talking about? Like we're falling apart here, dude. I thought all that stuff was really, really great. And I like the addition of Shapesmith, of Ben Schwartz. Nice mm-hmm. to have Sonic on the Guardians of the Globe. That's really nice. But yeah, very excited to see where it's going to go in season three, everything like that. And again, I really hope that we get a release date sooner rather than later, and maybe even a special announced sooner rather than later. But yeah, I mean, I think, guys, that'll do it for us. I mean, like we said, it's going to be a shorter show. We really just wanted to hit on what we've been watching, and Invincible, touch on Invincible there. We might be back sooner rather than later with some trailer reactions for you guys. Might have some Bad Batch is the show itself. The whole show is ending soon next month, so might talk about that in some capacity. So keep an eye out on the channel. There will be more stuff. But yeah, until then, I mean, make sure to, you know, check out everything else that we've had on the channel. We got 4 years worth of content, reviews. You know, we've got, back when we were doing a crazy amount of stuff, I mean, we have full hour-long episodes on every episode of Mando Season 2. So you go watch those. We got episodes on most of all the Star Wars stuff. Pretty much most Disney Plus shows we have huge episodes on. So go check all that stuff out. Check out all of our reactions. Check out TJ's House of Gucci trailer reaction if you haven't already. Until next time, guys, that'll do it for me. I have been one of your hosts, Sean Monk.
I've been another host, TJ Cornwell. Thank you for watching, as always. Please like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you thought about any of the topics in the comments below.
Yeah,
I would say follow the podcast feed, but there might not be much uploaded there going forward. So you can still follow. Please leave a 5-star rating. But until then, we will see you next time.
Boom. Boom.